We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, as we focus, bring some focuses to you from the book of 1 Peter. If we can drop the screen and turn the projector on, just to kind of keep the outline in front of you tonight. These believers, the churches and the Christians who received Peter's letter, must have thought themselves to be quite special that Peter would write to them, and that the letter probably circulated would reach them, to speak to them with practical application for what they were dealing with. Remember, at the time of Peter's writing, Christians were being slandered and mistreated in isolated places throughout what we call today Turkey, or the country of Turkey. Nero would not have been the only ruler that Peter would have known of, though Nero would have been ruling at the time at which Peter's writing here. He would have been familiar with Pilate, who was the governor in Judea, who, remember, washed his hands of Christ and turned Christ over to the people. That was a wicked measure. He would have been familiar with him. He would have been familiar with Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist. That wasn't too friendly of a leader or a king or a governor at the time. He probably may have been alive when Herod the Great wanted to kill all the children of Bethlehem. He may have known of that situation. We don't know for sure. But Herod, Peter's writing, and he's writing from experience, a little bit different than the United States today. He's writing with rulers that were ultra wicked in comparison to some of the things maybe that we see. Peter did not live in a Christian nation at the time. But what he challenges these believers on is this: that your testimony is at stake in times of suffering. And if there's a focus that Peter wants to bring to us in 1 Peter chapter 2, towards the end of the chapter now, that focus is that we better make sure that we keep our Christian testimony. And so he is encouraging them to do that. In the midst of suffering, a believer should focus on keeping his testimony. What are areas that the Christian should give attention to that Peter brings out to these believers in times of suffering that they ought to give attention to ensure that they are keeping their Christian testimony? That's what I want to explore with you tonight. And so we're looking at 1 Peter chapter number 2, and we're looking at verse number 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, and let's see if I can hit the spot tonight. And I'm not hitting the spot too well. So if you can help me and just go to the next slide. Look at verse number 11, if you will. The Bible says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as stranger and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Have you ever been up to a place, or maybe you've seen on the news, where a hurricane or a tornado came in and wiped everything out, and they interview somebody that lost everything in that storm, that natural disaster, and they say something like, "We'll be back. We're going to come back." And they begin building, and maybe they don't have what they used to have, but they come back to business as usual. Really, what Peter is teaching all believers here is that even in the midst of suffering, our daily business, our daily Christian testimony ought not to change. It ought to be the same. It ought to be the same as if everything was going well in our lives. And he addresses a number of things. Number one, to maintain a Christian testimony, we must oppose the flesh. Or I have in my notes, opposition to the flesh. In verse number 11, notice the phrase, abstain from fleshly lust. Now, there are fleshly lusts that sometimes we see openly. If you go to a big city like New York City or one of the big cities, you may see people openly practicing their promiscuous lifestyle. You may see a man and a man walking down the street holding hands, all right? Fleshly lust. we're to abstain from fleshly lust, whether it's public or whether it's private. If you're going to maintain a testimony before the Lord, then every day that you wake up, you have to abstain. You have to discipline yourself. You have to crucify, as Galatians 5 says, your affections and lust. In this book, 1 Peter, he points out some of these lusts. In verse number 1 of chapter 2, he talks about malice. We'll talk about that a little bit more. He talks about guile, deceit, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings, all of these coming and pointing back to our lust, our cravings, our desire. If you go over to chapter 4, he lays out another list of lust as he points out this truth that if you're going to maintain a Christian testimony, you have to oppose, you have to fight against sinful lust. Look at chapter 4, verse number 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. That's immoral thinking. That's immoral lifestyle. That is a lust of the flesh. An excess of wine. That's a lust of the flesh. We're speaking of drunkenness there. We go on and it talks about revelings. That's letting yourself loose. That's letting yourself in a party atmosphere. And then it goes on and it uses the word banquetings. Do you see that word in verse number 3? There's excess of wine in this passage, and there's banquetings. Banquetings is really the word for social drinking here. And we know it's not drunkenness because two phrases before he deals with excess of wine. Did you know that to pick up one bottle of alcohol or a beer is a lust of the flesh? Bible identifies it that way. Bible says those are things that you did aforetime before you got saved. Those were things that you participated in. But now, that's something that I'm to abstain from. I know there's not a lot of preaching on that today. I know a lot of Christians are going in the direction of, hey, let's just have one together. You know, it's only one. We're not going to get drunk or anything. Better study your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3 and understand it deals with both. It deals with drunkenness, and it deals with sitting down around a table and let's just drink one together. Both of them are lusts, and the Bible identifies that. It goes on in chapter number 3 and verse number 4 to deal with abominable idolatries. We're talking about the worship of images. We're talking about getting into Satan worship and any form of worship that is not the one and only true God, and all of those are lusts. And dear Christian, there's a bunch more in the Scriptures. I'm only bringing out what this book is bringing out tonight. But if you're going to maintain a Christian testimony, suffering or no suffering, you have to oppose, you have to war against the lust in your life. He says in verse number 11, you have to fight the natural desires. Young people have to fight rebellion. It's a lust of the flesh and disrespect and vile affections. You have to fight what comes on your screen or what you choose to allow on your screen and in your ears. You have to fight what comes into your mind and in your thought life. All of that is attacked by the lust of the flesh, by the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Notice in verse number 11 that the lust war against your soul. Do you see that phrase? He says, what you're going to face in life is you're going to face this attack of lust, and it's going to war against your soul. Fulfillment of a lust never does good for your soul. You're not going to have peace with God and give in to a lust in your life. Sorry, it's going to upset the Spirit of God. And it should upset your spirit. You're giving in to something privately or publicly. It doesn't matter. It should be something that stirs your heart. Man, I can't sleep with this. Man, my conscience is plagued. Boy, the Holy Spirit will not let go of this. There's ongoing conviction in my life. You're in a healthy relationship with the Spirit. That's the way it should work. They're going to war against your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. It's going to war against that. Peter says, you want to maintain a Christian testimony? You better fight that battle. Christian, I encourage you to fight that battle. Maybe you have given in to one. Maybe you've allowed one to take a little bit of control in your life. Maybe you are thinking about one and your heart keeps running back to something. Bible says, the Holy Spirit says, abstain. Fight that battle. Number two, we see an opportunity for good works. Look at verse number 12. And let's go to the next slide if we can. And you just help me. Uh-oh. We did something wrong here. Yeah. Now it's working really good. Sorry, I'm trying to keep it in front of you, give you a visual, and I'm not doing too good at it. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12. Notice having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They're living in a society, they're living in a culture where they're slandered, where their testimony and reputation is being attacked, where maybe there's mocking going on, where maybe false accusations are being made against them that they're evildoers. And now Peter gives them some good instruction to keep a good testimony. And that is respond to all that with good works. The word conversation here in verse number 12 and the word good works is the same word in the original. That it's interesting. Peter doesn't tell them to defend their reputation with their words. I think that's very interesting to me. Hey, people are going to speak evil of you. Why don't you just come back at them? Nope. What's he say? Have your conversation, your lifestyle, your good works. Commit yourself to doing good. Let your deeds do your talking. That's a good principle for us when we're suffering. What do we want to do? We want to verbally defend ourselves, don't we? What does Peter teach these believers to do? Hey, they're going to speak evil of you. Instead of you responding back with defending yourself, just continue to live a right life, doing good to others. Let your deeds do the work. When others run your reputation down at work, let your good work, let your honest day's work, let your interest and servant's heart towards others do the talking. That's what he's saying. When you're falsely accused, let your good deeds do the talking. This is what he's saying. Look at verse number 15, if you will. Joins in with verse number 12. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may what? Put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Just do right. Just do good to others. That alone will silence the ignorance of foolish men and senseless men. Remember Daniel? Daniel just kept doing right. Man, people are gossiping about him to the king. King, he's breaking your rules. Aren't you going to do something about that? Shouldn't we put an edict out? Daniel just kept doing good. It's interesting that Jesus' words were the same way in Matthew chapter 5 in that passage of his Sermon on the Mount, when he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Peter's writing and saying, have an honest lifestyle among the heathen, among the Gentiles, so that they will see your good works and glorify God in the day of visitation. You know that your good works towards unsaved people have an impact on them. That they may glorify God, is what Jesus said. Peter said that they may behold your works and glorify God in the day of visitation. Dear Christian, don't get down. Don't think that there's a better road when you're suffering. Just keep taking the opportunity to do good to others. That's Bible teaching. That's Spirit instruction here. That will keep a Christian testimony. And we learn that here. Thirdly, we see a third thing that helps us keep a Christian testimony is obedience to the authorities. Obedience to the authorities. Very interesting to me in these verses that it says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So in verse number 14, he lays out the purpose for government. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear the king, fear God, and honor the king. Did you know that your testimony is all about how you respond in relationships? You study 1 Peter chapter 2. You'll find you have relationships with the king. You have relationships with governors, according to this text. If you read on in this text, you'll find other lists like servants to masters. That's a relationship. If we go into chapter 3, it's wives and husbands. Peter's saying, you want a good testimony? You've got to maintain relationships. You've got to do the right things in relationships. And God puts people over us, doesn't he? You ever had a tough boss? You ever had a president you don't like? You ever had a dad that you just couldn't sense he loved you? Harsh? A Nabal? How am I supposed to respond to all that, preacher? Study Peter. Peter says, respond to it with a submissive heart. And that submissive heart's going to do unbelievable things. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, it says. Now remember, Peter wasn't writing where we had the Constitution of the United States that we were living by. Peter's writing and supreme kings are just making calls. Kill Christians. And Peter's still speaking to those believers and saying, your responsibility in that culture, not to disobey the Lord, but do everything that you can to submit to the ordinances that are there. Now that cuts cross-grain to all of us, doesn't it? Somebody's wicked? No. Study Peter here. Now they didn't give up on the gospel. They didn't turn their backs on God or worshiping God. But they certainly didn't throw out all the rules of the day. And he points to the fact that even when we struggle with an authority in this life, we should give honor to the position because it's a divine position. I don't care if it's a governor. I don't care if it's a king. I don't care if it's a preacher. I don't care if it's a parent. If God put an authority in place, regardless of their deficiencies, regardless of their problems, we are to respect, we are to submit within the realm of Scripture to that authority because it is a divine placement. You may not like Joe Biden right now, but Joe Biden's, he's divine placed by God into a position of government that was God's design. Government was God's design, not my design, not man's design. It was God's design. And Peter says, for the Lord's sake. Because when you submit for the Lord's sake, you communicate to God that he has everything in order and you respect and you honor him and you're following what he has put in place. Now, my friend, I understand this is not always easy to have that mindset of submission and honor. But that's what the Bible teaches here. Peter says you want to keep a good testimony in times of suffering? Take opportunities of good works. You want to keep a good testimony in times of suffering? Obedience to authority. You want to keep a good testimony in times of suffering? Oppose your flesh. These things, these areas, are the things to bring focus to. We'll come back next week, talk a little bit more about obedience to authority, and then how we communicate grace to others.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.